Hello, Fearless One. There's a question I want you to sit with today. What is really driving your life and your business? In other words, what is the fuel underneath your decisions? Is it love or is it fear? The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, that perfect love casts out fear. If perfect love casts out fear, then fear and love cannot occupy the same place of authority in our lives. One will always shape how we see ourselves, other people, and the future. But fear is not simply an emotion. What if fear is also the frame through which we interpret life? Let's dive into that today. Before we go any further, why not share the link to this episode with a friend or on your social media? It goes a long way to helping me increase my audience. Thank you for doing that. Back when I was writing my second book, The Making of a Caribbeanpreneur, Challenges to Overcoming Fear and Building Wealth, I discovered that we are all born with only two natural fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. Every other fear is learned. Many of those learned fears we acquired probably before the age of 8 and the rest by the time we enter our early adult years. But what I want you to know is that if you learn the fear, it can also be unlearned. Many of us spend years believing we are afraid of failure, rejection, success, visibility, money, or uncertainty. But perhaps those are not the real fears. Perhaps they are simply the result of a story we have believed for so long that it feels like the truth. The question is this: which story is shaping your decisions? The story that says you are loved, chosen, and provided for by God? Or the story that says you're alone, disconnected, not enough, and that there will never be enough? Those two stories produce two completely different lives. They produce two completely different businesses. One builds from abundance, the other builds from scarcity. One builds from identity, the other builds from insecurity. One trusts, the other controls. One creates, the other merely survives. I have noticed that many entrepreneurs proudly tell the story of growing up with very little. They say things like, "I never want to be broke again." It sounds admirable, it sounds motivated, and in many ways it is. But it is worth asking another question. Is your business being built because you love what God has called you to create, or because you are trying to outrun a past you are still afraid of? There is a profound difference. Imagine two sisters brought up in the same home with the same experiences of poverty. Both grew up to be incredibly wealthy, yet one sister has a persistent fear of being poor again, while the other no longer sees herself as poor and that poverty will never be in her future. The external circumstances may have changed for the sisters. However, they have different perspectives on their lives. One is still looking backwards. The other has accepted a new identity. That is the difference between living from fear and living from love. The Apostle Paul understood this when he wrote, "Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal." Paul wasn't pretending the past never happened. He simply refused to let the past become the architect of his future. Psychologist Dr. Benjamin Hardy makes a similar point in his work, Be Your Future Self Now. He argues that extraordinary people allow their vision of the future to shape the present instead of allowing the past to dictate what they believe is possible. The Bible has been teaching this all along. Faith has always been future-focused. Fear is usually past-focused. Fear asks, what if it happens again? Faith asks, what has God promised? Fear remembers failure. Faith remembers God's faithfulness. I recently discovered author and teacher Jamie Winship, who coincidentally wrote a book called Living Fearless a few years before I did. He offers another perspective that I have found incredibly helpful. He encourages people to ask God a simple question when revisiting painful memories. Jesus, where were you? Not to change what happened, but to discover what was true that we couldn't see at the time. Many of us have interpreted difficult moments as proof that we were abandoned, rejected, or incapable. What would the Lord say if we were to ask Him where He was in the midst of the poverty and the pain? God is love, and His response would reveal that love, even in the moment we could not see it or feel it. He is not the accuser of the brethren. He doesn't chastise us. He is always looking at us and seeing His beloved. The event doesn't change, but the way in which we can interpret what happened can change. And when the meaning changes, our future changes. I recently tried this exercise with an old belief system that I had battled with since I was a child. It was connected to a memory about visiting the homes of some of my wealthy classmates in high school. I really enjoyed hanging out with them, and it wasn't because they had a big house. They were just these two friendly girls who were kind and we could be really silly together. It didn't matter that they were Indian and I was black, we were just little island girls. However, I remember one of my parents asking me if I thought I was better than they were because I liked going to my friends' houses. I don't think I visited their house too often after that, and I confess it framed a lot of how I showed up in the years following. I found that I was always dumbing down myself, my appearance, my language, to not be seen as too much or trying to be better than other people. It also meant I kept back my own growth, professionally and financially. It was always easier to defer to others rather than put myself forward or first. This is an issue I have brought before the Lord many times, and I have released it and my parents because they didn't know what they didn't know. That was their own framing and perception. But I asked the Lord a few days ago, what did you want me to know in that situation? His response was simple. I wanted you to see there was more to be had and it was available for you too. There is a lot of work being done today on helping people to shift their mindset. But this goes beyond mindset to your belief system. It's about the lens through which you see the world. If your worldview says that wealth and good things are for those people over there and not people like you, then that is how your operating software, your mind, will process and deliver the world to you. If you can see your world through the lens of what your creator designed for you, which is blessed, fruitful, multiplying, and dominating, then you are going to have a different experience of the world. Think about how this would affect your business. If fear is driving you, every client feels like your last chance. Every setback feels catastrophic. Every competitor feels like a threat. You struggle to charge appropriately because you fear people saying no. You hold on to every task because you fear nobody else will do it properly. You hesitate to launch because you fear criticism. You say yes to work that doesn't fit because you fear there won't be another opportunity. Fear becomes an exhausting business partner, but when love and abundance become your foundation, your decisions begin to change. You know your value isn't determined by one client. You know provision doesn't come from one contract. You know your identity doesn't rise and fall with your bank balance. You can say no, you can delegate, you can think long term, you can build something that lasts. The same principle applies to our health. Many people grew up where food was scarce or where treats became the reward after difficult times. Years later, they still eat as though scarcity is around the corner. Not because they are hungry, but because fear and memories of hunger are making the decision. Love asks a different question. How do I care well for the body God has entrusted to me? What do I eat so that I can have a body that can carry me through all the seasons of life? God promises with long life he will satisfy us. We want to be living long and healthy, not long and in pain and miserable. We can look at money the same way. Fear hoards and fear also overspends. Isn't it interesting that opposite behaviors can come from the same root? One person clings tightly because they fear there won't be enough. Another spends everything because they fear missing out. Both are operating from scarcity. But thank God, love stewards, love plans, love gives generously, love trusts God's provision without becoming careless. This is why our identity matters so much. If I believe I am alone, then everything depends on me. If I believe I am loved by God, then I can work hard without carrying the weight of believing the whole world rests on my shoulders. That doesn't remove responsibility, it transforms it. I believe this is one of the greatest invitations of walking with God, not simply to become more confident, but to exchange the frame through which we see everything, to stop interpreting life through fear and begin interpreting life through the love of God, because love changes how you see failure. Love changes how you see opportunity. Love changes how you see yourself. And ultimately, love changes what you build. So today, I leave you with this question. When you look honestly at your business, your finances, your health, and your relationships, are you building from fear or are you building from love? Remember the Fearless Framework. You are blessed before you achieve anything because your identity comes from God. As you embrace that identity, you become fruitful, developing the gifts He has placed within you. You multiply by creating value that serves others, and you exercise dominion by stewarding everything He has entrusted to you with wisdom and courage. You don't have to spend your life trying to escape your past. You can build your future by agreeing with what God has already declared about you. Live fearless.